This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
Hello, welcome to Startup to Success. My guest today is Zane Landon, who's the founder and CEO of Positive Vibes Magazine, a digital magazine dedicated to sharing, inspiring, powerful community-based storytelling, evoking transformational positive change. He is also the founder and CEO of Landing Dreams PR, a PR agency dedicated to representing mental health and wellness clientele. Zane, I am so excited to have you on the show. Welcome.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, of course. Let's start off by why did you start your, well, both companies in this sense, right? Like Positive Vibes Magazine as well as the Landing Dreams PR. What was the inspiration behind it?
So I'll talk about Landing Dreams PR after, because it came about from the magazine, which is pretty exciting. So I'll give a brief introduction. I'm a recent graduate from Cal Poly Pomona. I actually started the Positive Vibes magazine while I was in school for a school project. So I was taking copy editing because my major is a Bachelor of Science in Public Relations. So I had to get a little bit of experience in copywriting and copy editing, basically. And so I was taking the copywriting class, and this was when the pandemic first started. So we're back in May of 2020, basically. And so our final project was to create a digital public, not even digital, just a publication. And the professor had like a list of articles that he's like, consider what articles would go in this publication. And so I really started off wanting to do what I was excited about, which was I loved listening to podcasts about horror stories, like extraterrestrials and like urban legends. Unfortunately, it needed to be completely fictional, or nonfiction, my bad. It needed to be completely nonfictional. So I don't know if that was gonna work with him. So I decided to tackle something else that I was really interested in. And so during the pandemic, I thought that as someone who has mental health conditions, I didn't think the media was painting a good picture of mental health. And I think that this was such a good opportunity for them to really start telling the stories of mental health. Because, you know, we all know that mental health has not been represented in the media in a very good way for a long time. And I think that the pandemic actually allowed people were experiencing mental health like they've never before. And people were experiencing these symptoms of mental health conditions. And this may have been their first time where it was that bad, where their mental health was declining that much. So I feel like it was something that was like, something where people were on terms with, like people were beginning to understand the mental health community, especially the ones who have never experienced it before. So it was, in my opinion, it was a good equalizer because we were all experiencing isolation like people with mental health conditions do. And so it was a good opportunity to talk about mental health in a new kind of way. And unfortunately, the mainstream media just wasn't doing that. And they still don't. I see them having some segments here and there. I saw that there was like during May, which is Mental Health Awareness Month, there was some segments happening. But again, it's more than that. It needs to be more beyond than just celebrating it and just in that cultural moment, which is, you know, Mental Health Awareness Month, having the conversation all the time because these stories don't go away. Mental health is all the time, 24/7. And we all have mental health. Doesn't mean we all have mental health conditions like clinical depression or PTSD, but we all have mental health that we have to take care of. So long story short, that was what I was inspired by. I wanted there to be a positive platform where we could talk about mental health openly, but in a non-judgmental space. So for the final project, I decided to create Positive Vibes Magazine, all about spreading positivity, but in an authentic way to reflect the mental health community. And so I had my friend review the final project because, you know, she's a grammar whiz and I wanted her support and, you know, a second pair of eyes. And I don't know, just something sparked in me as she was reading it. I was like, what if we start something like this? Like, what's stopping us? We could start something small on Instagram. Because what I knew was, I just knew a lot about social media because of previous jobs I've had. So I was like, let's start there. I don't know much about publishing or even starting a website, but I know about social media, so we could start there. So that's exactly what we did. We started off with a small Instagram account. We shared our logo. Then we shared like little postings here and there about little affirmations, different things that, you know, could uplift people. And then we had a major transformational shift when someone actually reached out to us about interviewing them. And I never thought that would be the case. I always thought that we would be writing blogs about our experiences or writing blogs about different topics. So I was like, I wasn't sure where to go with this. So I asked my friend, because we were both working on it, I said, would you, she was the main writer. And so I asked her, you know, could you interview him? And, you know, let me know how it goes. And she said it went well, and she wrote the story. And I had to do a lot of research on how to create a website. I never used WordPress, but, you know, I looked up WordPress, and WordPress can be very confusing. So it was a lot of research and, you know, skills I had to learn. And luckily, WordPress has some good templates that they have. And so we were able to build a, you know, a simple website, and then we were able to put his story up there. And then, you know, we were like, if anyone else is interested in sharing their story, because we believe everyone has a powerful story to share, we want to hear it. And so we really shifted from what we started with, which was just talking about topics of mental health, to everybody has a story, and everyone's story should be heard and amplified. And that's exactly what we targeted. And so after he interviewed, you know, when we released it, we just had people reaching out. And then we had PR firms reaching out. And then we had publicists reaching out. And then we reached out to publicists and put PR firms as well, because we wanted to just get more people we wanted to share. We wanted to get diverse stories, you know, stories you don't really hear in the media. And we started going to all these different realms, which is the most exciting part. Was there was a point where we positioned ourselves as kind of like a spiritual magazine, because we were starting to like interview people who do tarot, who do angel healing, who are mediums. Like I said, I never thought in my life that I would be doing that. And it's so interesting, because I've always been around that stuff. I've always been around tarot and spirituality and just different ways to view the world, stuff like that. So I've always been open-minded to that stuff. And it was so great to kind of go back to my roots and just like, this is what I've been exposed to since I was a kid. And, you know, a lot of my family members do a lot of this stuff. And so it was so interesting that the magazine just kind of took different directions, and it's always growing, always changing, which is how I think, you know, all startups be. They're always changing. There's always things happening. There's always things going on in the industry and businesses. So that's the thing about entrepreneurs, just kind of to embrace the change. And, you know, if something doesn't work out, to have that resiliency, and it's hard. You know, there's definitely things that we've tried that didn't work. And we just try something else. And that was, you know, the whole point. It was like, it's kind of like an experiment. And it's been really rewarding. And since then, we've been able to feature over 70 stories, and we have over 16,000 followers on Instagram. And so it's been 2 years since we started, and I've been able to grow a huge network, and I've made some really good friends. And going into PR myself, it's really interesting to work with PR firms as well to see how they work. So I've grown in so many different ways from it. So I hope that makes sense.
Oh my God, it does. And you have a podcast show as well, right?
So that was one of the things that we tried.
Okay.
Yeah, we started something called the World of Positivist Podcast, which is supposed to be about positivists or the advocates of positivity, like or transformational positivity. And we tried it because, you know, we kind of like made this assumption that, you know, not everyone likes to read.
Yeah.
Let's have diverse, you know, ways that we storytell. And so we decided to do a podcast. We got a couple episodes on there, and they were successful. But then we were starting to release written stuff too. I mean, we were doing it at the same time, but we were releasing written stuff that was getting more traction than the audio stuff. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting. I always thought people would resonate more with the audio.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were finding more success in the written materials. So we will release like a YouTube video or a podcast here and now and then. But for the most part, it's just written. But it was something we tried. And I also was doing a couple of Instagram lives, just trying different things. But, you know, to the core of it, I mean, we really stuck with the written stuff, like kind of like what we started with.
What's one thing that you figured out that you think really helped you take it to the next level?
Oh my gosh. I think the one thing that helped me was just to take that risk. And so for the longest time, I mean, I never identified as an entrepreneur. I worked at a place at my university where all they did was you know, facilitate entrepreneurship, you know, sessions, and they would try and help people become entrepreneurs. And I was like, this would never be for me. Like, it's not something I would ever consider, because it's, you know, it's a lot. It's risky. You have to take ownership of a lot of things. You have to put yourself out there. And I think that's one of the hardest things about being an entrepreneur, because, you know, the more you put yourself out there, the more risk you take, which means the more likely you might fail, as opposed to doing nothing. And so I think it's harder to, you know, take action and have initiative than to do nothing. So for me, that's what I learned. And, you know, I took that mentality. And, you know, when it came to reaching out to people and building a team, because that was something I'd never done either. I have led teams before, but I never built my own team. And so I didn't know where to start, because I needed more support, because as more people were reaching out, me and my friend Michelle, we were not going to be able to do all the articles. And so we were able to build out a team by putting just a job posting on LinkedIn. So it's all about just doing the research, putting yourself out there and having good intentions, because I think that helped a lot. We've been able to build a team of over 30 and of ones that have come in and out. I mean, it's not like we have a total of 30, but we've had people come in and out of 30. And I think what made us the most successful in terms of that is I made sure I gave them flexibility, because unfortunately it was unpaid, because that's something we're trying to tackle, is how do we get paid for this? Because we still don't get paid. I'm passionate just about the storytelling, and I plan on doing this for, you know, a very long time, but I was never concerned about the money at first. You know, I'm starting to consider it more now. So because
if you're paying other people now to help you, and that's where you're like, oh my God, I need to monetize this before I can spend more of my own money.
Well, actually, unfortunately, we didn't pay people. We made it very clear though, in the posting itself, that this is an unpaid internship. It's very clear. I made it clear it's unpaid, but it's very flexible. So they're really just working as freelance writers.
Nice.
You know, and so I think that was the best model. And we still have, I have a good chunk of writers right now that have been with it for a very long time. And because I tried my very best to be as flexible as possible. Like if they can't, like we have like weekly team meetings, but if they can't make it, it's fine. I make sure that because it's unpaid, that it is as flexible as possible and that other priorities take precedent. So there are many times where people had to leave because they have to do a full-time job. And I completely understand, you know, and I congratulate them when that happens. And I just tried my best to be as empathetic as possible because this was born from the pandemic. So we were working with people during the pandemic who experienced grief, who experienced loss. And I was working with people who are from different places of the world. Like someone I work with is, you know, currently based in India. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that you have to work around, but trying your best to always have that empathy and compassion, I think, is what helped me take it to the next level, because I set those intentions and I work with people. And because they saw I was coming from a genuine place, we could work together. I hope that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And speaking of internship, you know, I've always thought that when they're doing non-paid, a lot of them are doing it for school credit, because, you know, you can't just have an intern come in and do the work without getting paid. And I think the biggest, when it comes to internship program, having an internship program in their company, is that it's hard for them to understand the legality of it. How do you know what type of program that you're running is legal? Like, meaning, if they're doing the same type of work all the time and not getting paid, is that legal? Because internship is supposed to be, you're supposed to teach them and train them and blah, blah, blah. Like, it can't be this consistent. It can't be like a job, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, like, how did you learn more about what the do's and the don'ts are when it comes to hiring an intern?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what we would do is we would, you know, put the job posting, make it clear what you would be doing, and also make it clear that they can pursue whatever it is that they wanted to pursue. It wasn't just they apply for the position, they would do that. I always made sure that they had the freedom to pursue whatever they wanted. And again, because it was an unpaid internship, I made sure that they didn't have to dedicate much. They probably, the most is maybe 1 to 2 hours a week. And sometimes I even said, like, if you can only contribute an article a month or even an article every other month, totally fine. I see many internships that are unpaid and they expect you to do 15 to 20 hours. I believe internships should be paid. So that's why I made sure that our program was as flexible as possible, because it's not completely fair to expect them to do all that work without getting paid, especially when we were living in a pandemic. And that's not a good excuse. I mean, the pandemic didn't matter, but people were experiencing, you know, a lot of financial uncertainty. So it's not fair to ask that of people. So that was one thing I did learn, but we tried so many different things. I tried to engage them at team meetings. I tried to have open meetings. I tried to like do office hours. I tried a lot of things to engage them. But what I learned was I just set a time and people can come in and out. And, you know, if they couldn't attend, and they just, all I had to do was let me know and, you know, just give me an update. And that was good. So I think like the whole flexibility was what was really helpful for people. And I think that's what we learned from the pandemic, which is why we're seeing hybrid work. We're seeing remote work, because that is flexible for people. And we're like recognizing that people have lives outside of their work. It's kind of sad that the workforce didn't really acknowledge that as much as it does now. And the pandemic was the conclusion. Like the conclusion for that came from the pandemic was people have lives and need to be understanding of their mental health and all these things. It's unfortunate that it took the pandemic, but it seems like we're going in a better direction when it comes to like workplace culture and flexibility.
Yeah, good point. How what strategies did you use to grow the Instagram from literally going from zero to 16,000 followers in such a short time?
Yeah, so what we did was, I mean, it helps a lot when we engage with influencers. That helps a lot, and it helps when they share their content, because when they share their content, it comes to us. And also now Instagram has that feature where you can cross post. And so their posts, our posts that cross post with them, they'll be on their page and our page. And so the likes they get, we'll get. And I think that was really helpful. So, you know, not everyone, you know, shared the postings that we gave them, but that helped a lot. But also what we did was we made sure that we were always engaging with folks that aligned with what we were doing. So I would type in hashtag wellness, hashtag positive vibes, like all the content that came up, especially the recent content. So I would look up, I would always look up like five hashtags a day. And I would always look at the recent posts and I would like them and I would make comments. And that is also where we found people to interview through that method. And through that, once I did that, we would get like 100 followers the very next day, just because we did that. And that, I mean, that takes some time, because sometimes I would be kind of just scrolling through content for like 20 minutes, straight 20 minutes. That's like liking 300 posts. So it can be a lot, but that actually is, you know, very helpful. And also just making sure that you're bringing content that your followers want. So there was a time where we were posting stuff that wasn't getting good traction, but some of the recent posts that we've done have gotten better traction than ever. I think because we're realizing what our consumers want more. And so a post we did that went really, that did really well was we posted on Mother's Day, that Mother's Day can be a hard day. You know, a lot of the stuff we don't hear, like celebrating mothers, but it's like, recognize that this is a hard day for you and everyone's celebrating their mom and you may not be because maybe they passed away. And so there's a lot of things. So we posted that. And then recently we posted how you can support LGBTQ and mental health. And we had like a carousel where you could swipe through and it had just all these stacks from like Mental Health America and different nonprofits. And I think people really wanted to see that, because to showcase the intersectionality of mental health and LGBTQ. And we're starting to do that more, where we're really telling the story of mental health that and how it really impacts, disproportionately impacts these communities. So I think again, you're always learning what your consumers want and it's always changing what they want. So it's all about just being proactive and figuring out what's working and what's not.
Let's talk a little bit more about influencers, because I know our listeners would definitely benefit learning from you specifically. In terms of influencers, you know, most people have the assumption that you have to pay them for them to do anything. Because mm-hmm. a lot of them are like that, especially if they're bigger influencers. They don't do anything unless they're paid. How did you get them to cross-promote your stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think because we were already sharing their story, that, you know, they were kind enough to say, well, we'll share it too. And I think because... here's the thing that I've learned. I know, you know, there are definitely times where people have said no. Many influencers have said no to us, especially when we're pretty ambitious. Recently we reached out to people who have like over a million followers on their Instagrams, and unfortunately they said no. And you know, never take it personal. It doesn't mean that they don't care about your platform or they just don't want to. Maybe they really do not have the bandwidth to do it right now, because I can't imagine how busy some of these people are. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the ones that have said yes, you know, they were kind enough to share it, and that helps. And also it just helps that what our platform stands for, which is authentic storytelling. And so we're not just telling the story of an influencer who's trendy and like, you know, asking questions about like what their favorite drink is and, you know, stuff like that. You know, like sometimes we'll see articles like that. We want to ask the real questions, which is like, you know, what's your mental health experience? How are you an advocate? You know, are you willing to share your trauma with us? Whatever it is, you know, stuff that is very personal to people. And I think people resonate with that. And I know that people are going to say, like, how is that positive vibes? Like, how is something like trauma and how is that positive vibes? To me, it is, because positivity is sharing your story and inspiring the world. So when you think of positivity, I think of it as like a mindset, not necessarily always being happy, because that is the toxic positivity that we're not promoting. So that helps a lot. And yeah, and it's just honestly really fun to work with some of these people. They do a lot of good work. So I think that, I hope I answered your question on influencers.
Yeah, you did. Thank you so much.
Oh, and also I will say, this is what I wanted to say, you know, and, you know, even though we've had people say no, there a lot of people won't say no to free press. And so, you know, they're grateful that they're getting free press And you know, if you're working with a public relations firm or a publicist, you're helping their job because their job is to get them there. And if you're already expressing interest, you're getting them a free like a placement that they can put on like their report when they have the reports their influencer that they're working with. So, you know, that helps too.
But like when you, let's talk about a little bit about your magazine, like how is it any, I mean, it's a digital magazine, right?
Yeah.
Obviously. So like, what would be the difference between a blog and your digital magazine?
I mean, essentially digital magazine, blog, I mean, they're very, you know, they're very similar because it's, you know, digital written stuff. But the only thing that, you know, would make it different is we just mainly focus in doing interviews. And so a blog might have interviews, but it might have, you know, a lot of topics and, you know, different things that they're discussing. And we've done a couple of those, but we mainly just do features of people, influencers, even organizations. We did a feature on an organization that is a like a of a male body positivity like portrait series, which is showing like the vulnerabilities of men in their bodies and stuff like that. It's just, we don't see that. And I love seeing that. So it's different because we're trying to showcase like really underrepresented of the underrepresented stories. So I think that's what can make us different.
I love that. I love that. I find what you're doing very authentic, and I love that other people are supporting you in your journey. It's pretty awesome. And then really quickly before we part ways, I know that you also have a PR agency that you started. Tell us really briefly about that, and then how can our listeners get a hold of you?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much again. So this is, and this was a recent development. So it was around January of, you know, 2022, where one of the people we featured, I kind of kept in contact with them. Not a lot, but we would chat like maybe every other month to see how we were doing, because we, you know, share different experiences that were really similar. And so sometimes we would talk, and she expressed interest in me being a publicist. And she said, because she knew I did that work. And I was like, well, let's take it back for a second, because I'm still in school. I don't know much about this just yet. I don't know a lot about it. I don't know what your expectations are, but I can tell you what I can help you with, because I work with people and I've worked with PR firms. I know that, you know, they're trying to get media placements, and I can help you with that. So I can help you with getting you on podcasts and spiritual magazines and different things that I know about because of my connections. And so I just started with her, and then, you know, I was getting her on different podcasts, different blogs. And then I worked with this podcast called Coming from the Heart, and the founder and I are good friends, and we're really good friends now. And she wanted to be a client. And so it kind of just kind of was like a snowball effect. I got one client, then a second one. Then I reached out to someone else I did the magazine with. We did Instagram Live. And I'm really inspired by him. He does, you know, suicide prevention work, and he's a good mental health advocate. Then I asked him if he wanted to be a client. He agreed. And then lastly, I was pitching him to like a podcast I saw. And then the podcast founder was like, would you be open to me being a client? I was like, oh, sure. Like, I never thought about it. And I actually do get paid for this work. Luckily, you know, they do pay me for my efforts. And, you know, it's all about just making sure you understand what your target is, because something I've seen that PR people do is they'll go way over their element. That's what I was doing, some PR work for a company. That's what they were doing. They were pitching someone that had 10,000 followers for podcasts that have like 300,000 listeners. And I was like, you have to imagine that they're getting millions of requests a day. Like, we need to start looking at the smaller podcast, the smaller platform, because that is where we're going to get most of the placements. And, you know, it's still helping you broaden your reach. And so that's the main thing I did, was just help them, you know, get media placements. And I was able to get one of them on WebMD, so some big platforms. And I have experience pitching myself, because I was, you know, featured on Forbes recently. So that was really exciting. So it's a recent thing. I just started, but it's, you know, it's been exciting.
Awesome. How can our listeners get a hold of you, Zane?
Sure. I mean, my full name, Zane Landon. That's like most of my like LinkedIn and Instagram, you can find me there, and the magazine or social medias are Positive Vibes Mag. So not magazine, just Mag. And then Landing Dreams PR, that's our Instagram. So if you need services, if you need anything, please let me know. If you want to talk about mental health, reach out.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time and such exciting topic. I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Sam. Zane.
Of course.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.